the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of November 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. Dave Dickey will be here, too. He'll have a look at today's agricultural news. And along the way, we'll explore this morning's USDA crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. As we close out our program, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, and as always, it happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat for the soft red at $7.21¾, down 14.5 cents after marching higher on the open this morning. The July contract at $7.97¼ in the soft red, down 13¾, and hard red at $7.87 was down 8.5 cents in Kansas City. From the corn pit in Chicago, a $5.76¼ settlement price, down 9 cents. The March at $5.90¼, down 9. May at $5.97¾, down 8¼, and July at $6.02¼, down 7 cents. December futures of next year at $5.52¼, down 3 quarters. November beans, $13.19¼, up 54 and 3 quarters. January, $13.29, up 54 and a quarter. And the March at $13.38, up 54 and 3 quarters. May soybeans, $13.38¾, up 52½. July at $13.42½, up 51½. Next year's November at $12.44¾, up 30 cents on the day. Bean meal futures, December contract on the afternoon, settled up $17.40 at $3.62.30. Bean oil, December at $53.40, up $1.39. Live cattle futures, $98.20, down 20 cents in the December futures. November contract for the feeders at $111.90, 65 cents higher on this day. The January there at $113.42½, up $1.80. And December lean hogs were down 60 cents at $66.55 today. The February futures at $73.65 were down 52½ cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures December contract $86.61 a barrel, down 45 cents. Ethanol at $2.34¾, that's 0.4 of a cent lower. Natural gas at $4.21¾, up 12¾. At this hour, December heating oil or diesel fuel trading $2.40¼, up 0.6 of a cent. And the gold futures on the afternoon finish $7 higher at $1,409.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,369 is just about 38 points lower. The dollar at 77.44 is up 0.41. And the CRB index today up 0.386, or rather 306. At 3:19:11 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. They say for this afternoon, sky should be sunny. A high of 72 degrees, south winds at 7 to 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear. A low of 43, south-southeast winds around 8 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 72, south-southeast winds between 8 and 13. Wednesday night should be partly cloudy with a low of 47, south winds between 6 and 9 miles an hour. Then on Veterans Day, that's Thursday, partly sunny skies, a high near 71, south winds between 5 and 8. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 49. Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 68. Friday night, showers likely, mostly cloudy, a low of 46. On Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 52 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 34. Sunday, it'll be sunny here in Urbana-Champaign with a high of 52 degrees. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 33. And on Monday, partly sunny, a high near 52 degrees. We'll have more on the ag weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Bob Baisdiffer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It's USDA Report Day for the month of November. The crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates were released this morning. United States Department of Agriculture now says the corn crop size is 12.54 billion bushels nationwide. That's down from the 12.6 that was released in October and below the 12.55 average trade guess. They dropped the average national yield from 155.8 bushels to the acre to 154.3. Soybean production estimated at 3.375 billion. That's below the average trade guess of 3.4 and below the 3.408 that USDA estimated in October. USDA this time around, in a surprise, lowered the yield from 44.4 bushels to the acre in October to 43.9 bushels to the acre. On the phone line with us to talk about the trade and the USDA numbers is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
What a day it's been, Todd.
It's been an amazing day, I suppose. I watched the open, but didn't really bother to take a look at the market again until I got here this afternoon. She opened up and traded quick in the morning. I think I saw corn as high as 22 cents higher. Beans were up, what, 68 at one time on the open? I don't know whether they managed to go much above that. They couldn't go much above that, but it was kind of a wild and woolly day. And then we finished both the corn and the wheat lower. I think wheat was up 20 cents at one time today, too.
That's right, Todd. We opened up pretty hard and fast out of the box this morning, following the lead of the beans. I think the beans tended to be the most bullish of the reports there today. Corn a little bit friendly and somewhat neutral to friendly for the wheat. But as we looked at things, what the estimates by a lot of the firms were coming into today, why we were looking at the same sort of numbers as what the government come out with on the corn. So, in essence, we were already trading those numbers that way, but we did follow through following the beans and took that Dease corn over the $6 mark up that 605 there in the open. And but we couldn't hold above there today. And later in the day, we just saw a sell-off that way. So, you know, one of the questions that they said that was somewhat asked was, as we look at our positions here now, what new news are we going to see between now and January 12th? And if we couldn't hold $6 today, should we maybe be taking some profits, is what we heard a lot of funds was talking about. So that's a little bit of what happened in the corn market.
Now, I think there are two possible news items between now and the last or January crop production report for the 2010 year. One of them is the grain stocks report has yet to come out. That could be a fun one to ride through, I suppose.
Oh, yes.
And then on January 1st, of course, we have a change in the ethanol market unless the lame duck Congress decides to extend the 45 cents a gallon blender's tax credit.
That will be a very big thing. As of right now, the ethanol plants have been able to keep producing and making fairly good profit margins as we talk here because the ethanol has moved up along with the corn price as we've moved up on this last move. We were on the airplane yesterday with one of the plant managers of an ethanol plant and said that they were in good shape. Been producing at full blast there in Marion, Indiana, and that looks like the profit margins have been fairly decent for the last quarter, and they look to stay at full production. So that's good news for the farmers in that area, at least, that their plant's booked in and has some good margins already locked in for the time being as far as ethanol production. But that blending credit is a very, very big thing that if we were going to keep this corn market above $5.50 to $6.
USDA raised the ethanol production, or usage, I suppose, from 4.7 billion bushels of corn for the current marketing year, the one we're in now, to 4.8 billion bushels. That's an extra 100 million. You think that's possible? We're running close to 18% ahead of pace at this point now than we did last year.
you know, as long as we keep it profitable, why, that's a very logical number. The number that the trade questioned more than that one was the decrease in feed usage, but that could be, if we look at the increase in ethanol, could be DDGs being thrown back in instead of just corn for feed.
So it could be offset by the DDGs coming back around into the beef cattle and
right.
dairy rations in particular, I suppose. And then what'd you make of the $50 million drop in the export market?
Well, you know, we've seen very slow sales right in here. There's the question as of at what level and what point will we start to see rationing happen, and I think that 6 to 6:20 was in a lot of people's minds of where that would start to begin. And you know, we got there today, and as we look out, you know, the March and May corn, they got up to 6:17, 6:23. None of them closing above $6 today, but we went to $7 a couple of years ago, and we know that corn doesn't want to stay there and produce and stay profitable around the country without some rationing going on. So I think that a lot of people are seeing the beginning of rationing to begin here around the $6 mark.
You said earlier in our conversation that on the floor they were thinking it was time to take profits. I suppose that's in the day trade and the speculative trade. What if you're a hedger or you're a producer and you own crop at this point?
Well, the one thing we feel that or felt and said all along, there's some chart gaps around the 6:20 mark basis, the December corn. We told everybody to sit tight and look at that. We thought that we would see $6 December corn, which we did see today. I got a little greedy in a lot of my orders this morning and did not get filled. But up around this level, if you haven't sold much corn, I mean, I know a lot of the farmers have sold an awful lot of corn. You know, there's still, I think that this isn't a bad place for some cash sales. And if you still feel a little bit bullish, some use of some bull call spreads is a great way to hold on to, or to re-own some corn along the way.
Let's talk quickly about the soybean market. It gained 54¾ cents in the nearby November contract. USDA did lower. That was a surprise. The yield estimate, was much made of the increase in the yield estimate or the national production, nationals production, I suppose, in South America, up some 2.5 million metric tons.
You know, there was a lot of talk about that, but there's such a talk more so about the need for more acres of beans for next year, more beans for next year if we keep at this sort of usage rate for this year, and China continues to want to build stocks. So I think that the numbers down there are important, but more importantly is that we're still wanting to keep this market strong to buy acres. I think if you look and see, the carryout is actually projected to be larger in the last few years, and we've been down $10 or less, not $13 at this point in time. So logically, we would say that we're overpricing our beans right now, but I think there's the urgency of feeling we need to stay high to buy acres or get more production for next year with the world's appetite for beans increasing steadily, Todd.
Yeah, so as the corn carryover at 827 million, as predicted by USDA WASDE now for the end of year next year, that's probably holding up, I suppose. The soybean market, which has carryover 185, but we've been down to 130, 105 in recent times and haven't maintained this kind of price level for soybeans.
Right.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think, you know, just be a little bit cautious. I think we're going to see some probably two-sided trade here over the next few days until we get our feet on the ground and see what new export sales happen.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. Dave Dickey and I will travel tomorrow to Kansas City for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention during the next 3 days. No settlement prices during the closing market report, but I'll bring you some good stuff. In fact, I talked to Daryl Good this morning and recorded tomorrow's program for you. I'll get it into the website probably early tomorrow afternoon, but it'll be posted into the podcast yet this afternoon. So if you want to hear today's CMR, the Closing Market Report, and tomorrow's Closing Market Report with Daryl Good's take on what happened in the marketplace or what's been happening in the marketplace with the USDA reports, you can do that online. Just visit willag.org. Speaking of Dave, here he is now with today's look at agricultural news.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson is lobbying Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad to take the chairmanship of the Senate Agriculture Committee. Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, who will become ranking member on the committee because the Democrats lost control of the House, says that if Conrad wants to get reelected in 2012, he should take agriculture. Conrad currently is the chair of the House Budget Committee. Lobbyists believe Peterson wants Conrad to be chairman because he wants a senator from a commodity-producing state to lead the committee. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. wholesale inventories jumped more than expected in September as demand failed to keep up with production, suggesting output will remain soft as wholesalers try to trim stocks. Inventories surged 1.5%, matching a July gain that was the biggest increase in more than 2 years. Wholesale sales rose a less than expected 0.4%. Sara Lee Corporation is selling its North American Fresh Bakery unit to baking company Grupo Bimbo for $959 million as it looks to concentrate more on its coffee and meat businesses. The maker of Jimmy Dean sausages and Sara Lee breads today says that the sale will allow it to aggressively expand other businesses through acquisitions and other means. The transaction, which includes 41 U.S. plants, lets Sara Lee keep the rights to sell Sara Lee brand frozen desserts and meat products, such as sliced deli meats. Grupo Bimbo will have rights to the Sara Lee brand in fresh baked goods globally, excluding Western Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. About 13,000 employees will be transferred. Grupo Bimbo, based in Mexico City, is the largest food company in Mexico and a major baker in the U.S. and Central America. Its 2009 revenue was $8.6 billion. The International Energy Agency today says that global oversupply of gas is set to rise above 200 billion cubic meters next year, and capacity is likely to exceed demand for another 10 years despite rising gas use. The IEA says it expects global demand to resume an upward trend this year and that continued oversupply could pressure exporters to move away from oil-indexed gas pricing, resulting in cheaper gas and stronger demand than currently projected. In the longer term, the IEA expects the use of gas to rise much faster than any other fossil fuel, with a projected 44% increase in global demand from 2008 to 2035 under the Outlooks scenario. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, with one more look at what's been happening with harvest across the Midwest today from just Nebraska and Iowa. Nationwide, the United States Department of Agriculture yesterday reported that the harvest was winding down across much of the Great Plains and the Midwest. Progress advanced just 5 percentage points during the week. Nationally, producers have harvested 96% of the nation's corn crop, 61 percentage points ahead of last year, 23 points ahead of the 5-year average. Winter wheat, by the 7th day of November, winter wheat producers had seeded 95% of the 2011 crop, 9 points ahead of last year, 3 points ahead of the 5-year average. Mostly ideal weather conditions allowed for rapid crop emergence across much of the major producing area of the country during the week. By the week's end, 82% of the winter wheat crop had emerged, 10 percentage points ahead of last year, 3 points ahead of the 5-year average. Overall, 45% of the winter wheat crop reported in good to excellent condition. That's down slightly from the ratings last week, 18 points below this same time last year.
This is Tyler Armstrong with USDA NAS, Iowa Field Office, with the Iowa Crops and Weather Report for the week ending November 7th, 2010. November in Iowa began with cool temperatures, with average highs in the 50s and lows dipping into the 20s. By Sunday, temperatures rebounded and rose near 70 in many locations. Along with varying temperatures, Iowa experienced another dry week as most of the state did not receive any rainfall. This allowed farmers to be in fields 6.8 days last week compared to 5.5 days the previous week. Continued dry weather enabled most farmers to wrap up their 2010 harvest. However, producers with standing corn witnessed increased lodging as high winds persisted the past 2 weeks. An early end to the harvest season provided growers ample time to focus on fall field work. Operators are finishing up fall tillage and moving to dry fertilizer and anhydrous application now that soil temperatures have dropped. With the soil being extremely dry, poor sealing of gases has been reported. Nearly all the corn acres have been harvested in the northern two-thirds of the state, while a small number of acres remain to be harvested in the southern third. Grain movement was reported at 33% none, 30% light, 20% moderate, and 10% heavy. On and off farm storage availability, along with hay and roughage quality and supplies, remained virtually unchanged from the previous week. Again, this has been Tyler Armstrong with USDA NAS, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending November 7th, 2010.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending November 7th, 2010. Producers neared completion of fall harvest as warm, dry conditions allowed progress to continue at an above-average pace. Corn harvest reached 94% complete, 3 weeks ahead of average. The last time there was more corn harvested by this date was in the year 2000. Likewise, sorghum harvest was well above average pace at 92% complete. Fall field work, such as fertilizer application and tillage, has slowed somewhat due to dry soils. Most of the western half of the state has recorded less than 1 inch of precipitation during the last 45 days. Winter wheat conditions continued well below average due to the lack of precipitation. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check now in on our agricultural energy markets. We do that each and every Tuesday. This afternoon, Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon.
And let's talk about the QE2. What do you make of it and the quantitative easing?
Well, the efforts by the Fed to inject reserves into the system is not only having an impact here, but it is also having a strong impact overseas at a time when those economies are growing. Their criticism of the program that we've seen out of Brazil, China, and other countries as well, such as Korea, is symptomatic of their growing fears that demand in their own countries is starting to have an inflationary implication. In addition, QE2 is only is providing reasons for the increased capital flows into those areas at a time where their economies are growing at very strong rates. And I think what we've seen here in many markets, and some of the softs are very symptomatic, that they're internalizing consumption of basic commodities, and that growth is probably actually underestimated.
And so that's bad news for the U.S. economy because they won't be importing from us?
No, they actually it expands their import needs in many respects. It on our side, certainly they're not going to be importing DVDs or different things like that, but they'll be
importing
basic commodities such as corn, soybeans, and even in terms of their own countries, such as Brazil, their consumption of coffee has increased dramatically, and that in turn is limiting the availability of coffee from that sector, leaving us subject to higher prices.
So you think the quantitative easing is doing what it's supposed to be doing?
Well, not necessarily, because our focus is upon housing and employment here. The fact is that the fund flows coming from the U.S. in many respects because of very low interest rates into those economies is bolstering those economies to levels that is very inflationary. And they had already expressed concerns over inflationary pressures building in their own economies that actually could, in the global context of things, probably leads to higher prices for basic commodities here as well.
Anything we ought to report on the energy side of the market?
Well, the crude market has certainly picked up in light of this. I think that those money flows are helping bolster demand, but you're also seeing a lot of investment funds come into this market as well. So even though our basic supply demand is still rather ample, the market's response here has been to go to somewhat higher price levels that probably could be sustained as long as those fund flows continue to come into these markets.
Mr. Platt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He's in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energy markets.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. The sky should be sunny, says the National Weather Service. A high of 72 degrees, south winds between 7 and 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low of 43, south-southeast winds around 8 miles an hour. And tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 72, south-southeast winds at 8 to 13. Wednesday should be partly cloudy in east-central Illinois. A high of 47, south winds between 6 and 9, and on Veterans Day, partly sunny skies, a high near 71, south winds between 5 and 8 miles an hour. When we get to Thursday night, should be partly cloudy, low of 49, Friday mostly sunny, a high of 68, Friday night showers likely, a low of 46, a chance of showers on Saturday will persist, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 52, and on Saturday night should be mostly cloudy, a low around 34 degrees on Saturday evening. Don Day usually joins us on Tuesday afternoons to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's out of the office this afternoon, and so we just bring you what we have from the National Weather Service and a look at a couple of other things, including what we like to call the something of interest feature that comes from the University of Illinois.
Here's something of interest from the University of Illinois.
India is one of the world's top five soy producers, but the country exports most of its crop, keeping only the oil for domestic consumption. That's unfortunate because 24% of India's population is undernourished, and protein deficiency is an even greater concern. Eating more soy could help alleviate that problem. U of I food scientist Soo-Yoon Lee says that although India has decidedly vegetarian tastes, the Indian people just don't care for soy. Because Indians are avid snackers, Lee and her U of I colleagues experimented with 9 soy snack recipes. 72 members of a surrogate Indian population in the Champaign-Urbana area were asked to participate in a sensory panel. Snacks that were crunchy, salty, and/or spicy received high marks from those who participated. By collaborating with a non-governmental organization in India, the snacks can be produced and included in their school lunch program and sell them in the temple gift shop. And that's something of interest from the University of Illinois.
Something of Interest is a public service of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences at the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon for the Closing Market Report. Again, Dave Dickey and I will be traveling the rest of this week to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. I put together a program for tomorrow already, and we'll try to post that up, not to the website directly, but into the podcast this afternoon and during the day, maybe tomorrow, to the website directly. I talked with Daryl Good, so you can catch that earlier if you'd like to, or listen to it tomorrow afternoon on the Closing Market Report. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.